Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. Today we are going to have probably one of the most unique episodes I've ever recorded. The episode's called Chemtrail Lung, and we'll get to that. For those of you who came from a different channel, or you've been pursuing this matter, buckle up. Before I get started on the specifics, you know, we're in an age right now where we're trying to fight corruption. And typically, the archetype of getting this accomplished requires that we identify the heroes within our population. And I think that for the very first time in my knowledge of history, which is probably just a tiny scratch, especially if you take into account revised history, we have a mob. We have a mob that works together in almost this concentrated, reinforced level of complete ignorance that we haven't seen since probably the Salem witch days. For those of you who haven't been to Salem's Lot museums and the history of Salem's Lot, almost everyone has, right? You're over 15 years old, you've heard the stories. You have a mob that grabbed people, accused them of being witches, just like in Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail. And all they want to do is hurt people because when they look in the mirror, they're terrified and they're disgusted with their own appearance. And the only thing the mind can do to repair such a thing, if one is unwilling to acknowledge what they see and tough it out and fix yourself, get a religion you really believe in, something you actually think happened, a system of belief that actually works for you because it helps predict the future. Remember, truth predicts the future. Everything else is bullshit. Instead of doing those things and nutting up and being an adult, these individuals of all ages, of all genders, of all origins, will pick people that they think have what they want. And they devote their lives to tearing them down. And after the mob has grabbed an innocent person, in this particular case, a hero, and torn them down and burned them at the stake, what's left from a human being that's burned at the stake? Not a whole hell of a lot if you do it right, right? They just go on to the next person. And the interesting thing is they're usually completely self-consuming and self-defeating because once they run out of other people, they start cannibalizing themselves. And why would they cannibalize themselves? Isn't that part of being, wouldn't that just be a crazy ignorant thing to do? Right, so the mob's running around grabbing people that look different than the mob, and then eventually they grab your kid, they grab your wife, they grab your husband, because there's no one else left. And they're sick on their ignorance, on their hatred. What they really need to do is put the .22 in their mouth and pull the trigger and end the misery. But instead, they go after other people. Monty Python got it right in their movie, A Quest for a Holy Grail. They had the mayor, who was a knight, who was going to become a knight, and he was saying, you know, why do you think she's a witch? Because she floats on water, is one of the things that they said. And he goes, well, what else floats on water? And John Cleese, I think, said, very small rocks. And the reason why they wrote the script or that skit in the script, the way that they did was they were trying to illustrate how utterly ignorant the mob is to do such a thing. But look at the way that the adults on one side of this country behave. There's witch hunts going on like crazy that are baseless. But there's this, you know, this smaller group of adults that are trying to teach the population, this is what we do. If you don't like the outcome of the information, you attack the messenger. We got some doozies in this episode, I'm telling you. So what the hell am I talking about? For those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about, let me get you hip to this, because I'm going to show you the unedited clip that a friend of mine, Rachel Reenstra, she spells her stage name R-E-E-N-S-T-R-A. Rachel's the same as anything else, R-A-C-H-E-L. Rachel is a good friend of mine who has a very similar history that I have. She moved here from the Midwest. She wanted to become an actress and a comedian, and she did. In fact, of all the people that you could possibly name on this planet, I mean, you could name the most famous people in the world. Her life is so well documented online as to where she has been, her struggles. After 10 years, we'll go through her life story a little bit, but after 10 years, she had succeeded, you know, by any measurement, but she wanted the bigger brand of macaroni, as they say. And she took her credit cards and followed her dream and traveled the world and filmed herself with all kinds of animals because she's just the ultimate animal lover. And eventually she created so much material that her agent was able to show the dailies to Discovery Channel, which said, you know, we're looking for a host to do this. And we have a lot of people in competition for this job. Like, you know, go watch my Making It in Hollywood episode. At any one point in time in Hollywood, there are a million actors. This is not an exaggeration. There's a million people in line to get the next job. But Rachel, risking it all, running up her credit cards for sure financial bankruptcy, ended up getting the job that she always dreamed of. And she got a spot on 2020, the show 2020, because they were following people that took that risk and were able to find their dream. I can't think of anyone more qualified to be an honorary member of this show than Rachel Reenstra. We'll get back to her in a second, directly. About 3 weeks ago, if not a month ago, I had had probably my second friend, my second closest friend, group of friends in the world, come off this horrible illness that has gone around Los Angeles. And I mean, it has just been literally like a baton. And this illness has taken down friends of mine that I've known for half a decade, if not more, who've never been sick. You know, they've had colds and sniffles here and there. But this was a fever that lasted 4 days. It was so devastating to my friends when I got the text message from the first friend that had it. I almost couldn't believe they were telling me the truth. Like, I thought they might have been exaggerating or something. And they had, you know, fortunately I wasn't able to get really close to them, but they've had family members and friends. But then it got to my second friend. By the time Rachel caught this stuff in Los Angeles, her and I were just getting into a bunch of stuff. We're getting into all kinds of different collaborative conversations. And she's taken out. 2 or 3 days. And if you look at Rachel's background, you can assess very quickly. She's not a person that goes down very easily. She's not one of these people that lives at the hospital anytime there's a little, you know, tick in her life. Mm-mm. She's extremely homeopathic. She wants to solve things with vitamins and good health and rest and, you know, good vibes. She's just like a less is more. But being sick for her is not something that happens very often, just like all my other friends who take care of themselves. But this virus that's going around is insane. It's intense. Fevers up and down for 3 or 4 days. You think that most of the time you get a fever and you break it, and it can't come back. This stuff just kept coming and coming. You know, 2 or 3 times a day, full fevers, full sweat. Got to take a shower. Got to change your clothes because you sweat so damn much. And then you get hit 2 or 3 more times in a single day. When it hit Rachel, I finally realized, Jesus, something pretty heavy duty's happening here. This is my third friend who's extremely resilient being taken down by this illness. So she goes to urgent care. Now, we'll get into some of the details there, but she goes to urgent care and she just does this traditional old thing. And for those of you who haven't gone to an urgent care because you live in the Midwest and they don't have these things, it's just a chain of clinics where doctors freelance into the rotation to make money in between their residency or, you know, their primary care jobs, which is like they're a doctor at this hospital. That's their full-time job. But if they have any time off, they can rotate through an urgent care and just scoop up money. It only costs about $70-$75 to get through there before you get your prescriptions. So if you don't have insurance, it's fantastic. It's what I use. I use it because it's all I ever need. And you meet some incredible doctors, right? So she gets done with this visit, and I look at my telephone, and she's like, dude, you have to look at this. And she sends me this video, which I'm going to show you guys, of this doctor who obviously knows what he's about to say. She has asked him privately, what is going on with me? I've got this respiratory issue, you know, the same one from my head into my lungs. I've never been this sick in my life. And the guy said off camera, before they filmed, you have something that a lot of us physicians in Los Angeles are calling a chemtrail lung. It's a worldwide epidemic. And she goes, stop. Do you mind if I videotape this? He agrees. He agrees. She films him. She's sitting on one of those tables with a piece of paper you roll out. Her friend is videotaping the whole thing on her telephone. It's just a very innocent video. I'll let you see it right now.
You all are?
Get closer. Yes.
So there is an emerging problem that we're having in society all over the world, actually, and it's called chemtrail lung. There are more and more respiratory conditions that are showing up because of the toxic chemicals, heavy metals, gases, virus particles, and other things that are being sprayed across the atmosphere, especially in this area, because Palmdale Airport is a source of a lot of top secret activity that takes place. And there's also a lot of still breathing of fracking gases from Porter Ranch and the other surrounding areas.
That's right, that big, yeah.
And also because of the topography, the way the Santa Ana winds blow in this area.
Right.
And on top of all of that, the smog. And on top of all of that, what we see, what we know about the amount of inhalation of mold and mildew in the walls of the buildings and things of this sort.
That's true.
So the combination of all of these things, plus the overuse of antibiotics. Plus being in the cold and the flu season in general.
And how do you feel about the flu shot? I mean, I did not get one, and I won't ever get one. I don't believe in them. I know some people do. How do you feel about the flu shot?
I don't recommend it in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few categories of people who are most appropriate for getting them,
mm-hmm.
but not even then, not every year, because so much of the time the true effectiveness and efficacy of flu shots is very, very low, and it's not necessarily that it's a benefit. It's a public health policy issue, but it is not necessarily a physiologic benefit to the patients.
Even though they want you to get one and they say, oh, come on in to get your flu shot. They encourage it. But at the same time, it could be a different strain that's coming about. So it could actually make it worse.
Yeah, well, we've been dealing with, you know, sub 30%, sometimes even sub 20% effectiveness of flu vaccines in recent years.
20%.
And it's a guess as to what may be native in the composition of a flu vaccine in order to get it ready for distribution, and then most of the time we miss more than we hit. So it's not something that as a public health specialist as well as a primary care specialist and all that I routinely recommend. I know that there's policies there, and I know that there's something called best practices.
Right.
But if you look at it more in general...
He said best practices, not brass practices. That's different. It's a whole other show.
So if you look at it in terms of what else people can be doing, there's a whole lot more that people can do to improve their health from a prevention point of view and from a detoxing point of view and from a proactive health orientation.
Be proactive, right.
As opposed to just...
So there you have it, unedited. And it's total vertical splendor. So she gets this guy to say all this stuff. I mean, listen to what he said. And then she's like, I gotta drop this, but I don't know if I want to drop this myself. I think I'm gonna give it to a friend of mine who has a channel. And I'm gonna try to refrain from mentioning any specific names, because I just think that has more class. It's a guy who lives on the East Coast. He's got a very popular channel with at least 200,000 plus, I think he's about 220,000 subscribers. He drops this as a part of a larger production he puts around it. He does edit it quite a bit, so he tries to zoom in on it, and I respect the fact he was trying to fill up the screen with this guy's face. I wanted to give you the video unedited so that you could see it unedited for the first time, as far as I know. But then this mob shows up. What's really strange is that people subscribe to people's channels of which they believe are actually not telling the truth. And that is a sign of a couple things. It's a sign of automated bots that are in there. And the bots that work on the internet, I was one of the super pioneers of automated AI that watched people chat in chat rooms such that I could get rid of the pedophiles. I worked for a company named Live World, who owned a company named Talk City, and then I programmed several chat room technologies for video game sites where you have someone playing a video game and there's a chat room down below. So it's the same technology. I made a chat room software package in Perl in the mid-90s that I launched. It became the artist formerly known as Prince at the time. It became his official website for the record company. They actually pushed everyone to my website so they could chat in all the different languages and stuff. And you'll get jerk-offs that go into chat rooms, and now it's just a chat thread, right? It's the same technology, right? And of course, there's live chat on Facebook. So I'm very familiar with the griefers, as we used to call them in the late 90s, which we call trolls now. Trolls is so much better. The scumbags. I've had one of these scumbags in my family. I talked about it in one of my episodes. But the trolls that are automated, meaning they're not real people, they work in several different ways. I believe that the way that they're working now, because I see a pattern where you'll go to two different websites, same subject matter, the same person shows up in the thread on both sides, and they're saying the exact same thing. Like, down to misspellings, double spaces. And the way that this bot works is that someone in the, probably Army Corps PSYOPs, someone who is part of the deep state, someone who is against us being alive, being informed, they go to a real thread that has organically occurred about a particular subject. Let's say chemtrails. And they see pro statements and they see con statements. They've created a bunch of fake profiles in a computer. They can get them into YouTube or Instagram or Twitter easily. I think we can assume at this point those companies actually assist in the fake account creation process, but that's not necessary. But the tool allows them to click on con statements. Bing, 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 bing. They could also click on the pro statements. And those statements are then scraped off that thread and put in a database based on a certain keyword combination. These are con statements against someone who believes in chemtrails. These are con statements against anyone who says that they don't exist. They make a huge database. Then when a video shows up that is either pro their agenda or con their agenda, all they do is they string together these fake accounts to attack this page, to attack that field, it's very simple to write a little bot on your computer that within a certain interval to not get caught by any, sensors, to say you're posting too much or whatever, they submit field data into that little comment field in whatever tool you want, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. And they walk away. They walk away. It's using a different account name, but it's using the same statements that a human being wrote, such that they don't have to create any artificial intelligence that's convincing. All they do is they take videos that are unlinked and they put them all together so you have a nice organic stream. The AI is the first stage of the troll process. We have morons all around the world who, again, they hate themselves. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And if you've ever looked in the mirror and said, oh my God, man, what did I do? I put on 20 pounds. What the shit? I got to get off. These people hate themselves on a quantum exponential level to anything that a normal person hates. Like those people that are, you know, as thin as a toothpick. You can see the bones on their body and they think they're fat. That kind of crazy. Okay, God bless those people. Hopefully anyone in that situation gets out of it, right? When I first moved to California, I'm going to give you an analogy of how this works. When I first moved to California, I lived in a really cool neighborhood eventually after a couple of years with every race represented on the street. And I mean every race. But one of my best friends was a Mexican kid across the street. Coolest dude on planet Earth, still to this day. And we went to a Denny's regularly for the church community I was in. I was one of the older 18, 19-year-old kids, and so I'd drive everyone around, the kids that are like 14 and up, and who could go out, and we'd get like after church and our Bible study, we'd go out and grab some dessert at a Denny's. I saw for the very first time in my life a skinhead. I had never seen a skinhead other than watching Repo Man, which is an Emilio Estevez movie shot here in Glendale. Hilarious film. But this kid was sitting there, scrawny, shaved head, had his suspenders on, shirt rolled up, pants rolled up, Doc Martens on. And my friend, who was Mexican, who was very progressive, you know, he definitely liked the kids that went to the church and he went with us, but he wasn't quite, you know, as deep in it as everyone else. And he and I, of course, saw eye to eye because I came from the outside as well. Everyone just happened to be in front of us and filed into the Denny's. And my friend knocked this guy out, just punched him right in the chin. He was sitting up on this fence. Like Denny's has usually like a stone sort of landscaping that goes up to some bushes, you know. And he's just up there snoring. I turned around, I went, did you just knock that guy out? And he's like, yeah, of course. And I said, well, what's the deal? And he goes, well, they're always pussies when they're by themselves. But as soon as a couple of them get together, they're all of a sudden badasses. And it's like the hyena, you know, that gets in a pack and all of a sudden they got fucking balls. So these bots, they start the ball rolling. This is how this works. They start the ball rolling for real human beings to jump on board because they're either 12 years old in their brain, which is where you're kind of making that decision. Am I going to be a cool person for the rest of my life, or am I going to be a fucking douchebag for the rest of my life? You know, most people chose the cool path, some form of it. But some people hop on that douchebag bandwagon. I got one in my family, like I said. The kid never grew up. He's older than me by a year and a half, and the guy is, I guarantee you, still a bigger fucking baby than the two kids he gave birth to, right? So the video airs as a part of a larger production from a gentleman who lives in New England. And this thing blows up on the internet. It goes viral. The key word is chemtrail lung. It was properly presented as one of the most important things you could ever see. Because as you saw in the video, he not only covers chemtrail lung, he covers the idea of the efficacy and the effectiveness of flu shots, which we know contain tons of mercury, tons of aluminum, They are exempt from the CDC's non-mercury preservative laws against children getting that stuff. And so my friend goes silent for a couple days. And it's been kind of like that prior to this event because the sickness has been knocking her out. I mean, I had to force her to say something to me, you know. How you doing? It'd be like a day. I'm doing horrible, you know. But this is where it starts to get interesting in a morbid way. The sociological experiment of sort of, you know, licking your finger, put it in the air and going, how are we doing as a society? Right? You know, we got QAnon, he is dropping bombs like crazy, predicting the future, telling us exactly the strategy of the White House on how to get rid of all the corruption in the FBI and all the other three-letter alphabet organizations, exposing the pedophilia. So there's a great movement going on there. YouTube is just absolutely full of truthers, so many channels analyzing every aspect of the world. We are in what we're calling on this show, the awakening of 2018, which a lot of people coined that phrase before I even said it. So fantastic. So we get this like snowball starting to go downhill and it's starting to get really big. Then this video drops. And we start to learn sort of one of the, you know, don't count your chickens before they're hatched societal de-evolutions that still exist on this planet. This mob shows up. And this has been, honestly, one of the most incredibly valuable things that could happen to my show at 2018 and my personality and my mind to see just how broken sectors still exist. I haven't seen a mob come out like this in, I'm going to say, over half a decade. And, of course, because I'm involved, I know Rachel personally. It's fascinating because I know how much of a hero this woman is on all kinds of levels, right? You know, she rescues animals. She's devoted her life to the well-being of creatures. Before I even met her, she had all these videos about chemtrails. And you have to understand, I work in Los Angeles, and, you know, Hollywood, the people behind the cameras who aren't all the weirdos, right? As soon as you go behind the camera, you're dealing with some of the coolest people on planet Earth. I've seen them for a decade walk out of the studio, look up and see chemtrails and just curse the sky. So pissed off that there's nothing that we can do to get this shit out of our planes, right? Or to stop the planes that are pulling it off, or whatever's causing the issue, right? And I'm going to put in the comment section the other videos, three specifically. Are chemtrails real? Chemtrails are real, I believe, is the second one, and Morgellons disease. So you can see how far I've dove into this. Again, my picture gallery was licensed by Alex Jones before he really turned into what he is today, when he used to make movies and we think he was on top. Literally, he tried to go after this subject matter, and it's the most definitive moment in his personality and his show's existence where he stopped doing this chemtrail movie. I found the contract between he and I on my computer the other day evaluating hard drives. He stopped doing movies, which are the most powerful thing he ever did, and his studio multiplies 10x. So he's got more resources now to make a movie, and he doesn't make them anymore. So for those of you who think he might be infiltrated, I have to agree. I have to agree. I think he's really off base. But that was the pivotal moment. So, you know, whatever story they have, whatever bullshit they've put behind these planes that miraculously spray trails. Like right now, today is just like yesterday. Same temperature. My sky is completely clear. They're not spraying this stuff right now. Maybe they sprayed it earlier. But there's nothing in the sky. Yesterday and the weeks before, it was just, you know, if you could see the sun, you were lucky. But this event for me is really personal and interesting because, you know, Rachel is probably one of the most easy people in the world to validate. And if I walked up to any one of you watching this show, And I said, prove to me who you are. Oh, I know you can write an email, you can print out a birth certificate, you can tell me through your voice that you were here in 1991, then you were here in 1992. It's all just hearsay, man. It's just you saying that that's what your life was all about. Prove it to me. Prove to me. Photographically prove it to me. Prove it to me with videos that you were actually where you say you were. Compared to Rachel, you're the one that's the mystery man. You're the mystery woman. You don't have what she has. She has proof of who she's been her whole life. Because of the 2020 piece, any one of you, without talking to her, I've had the distinct privilege of talking to her for hours. You can see part of her background. Because of YouTube, you can look at her comedy bits from a long time ago and watch her build her entire career from nothing. Tons of little commercials. She actually has a course that she can teach at the drop of a dime anywhere in the world that can help you become the best TV host you've ever been or you ever could be. You know, unless you're already famous and you already figured it out. But now the mob goes after... It's interesting. There is a complete paradox, and this is where you can see the bot creation of the movement, right? This is a woman that's come out and said, what? What a ton of us say. Planes didn't used to make trails in the sky. They didn't, right? At least in average America, right? I lived in Wichita, Kansas, and Chanute, Kansas, or Derby, Kansas. And we had an Air Force base right next door. It was so bad that in class, when I was a kid, the teacher would have to stop talking routinely throughout the day because a jet is screaming over the school and you can't hear anything in the whole room. And it just became this Pavlovian thing. We just stopped and we'd be staring at her, you know, and 15, 20, 25 seconds would go by and then she'd start up again, just like a robot that stopped, right? I did not see white trails in the sky, even with jets doing afterburners. When did I see it? When the Blue Angels would do a show and practice. And they would turn on their streamers. And they were like, oh, that's neat. Let's sit and watch this because they're leaving trails. It's interesting. Contrails? Absolutely. As a kid, way out in the middle of the boonies in my hometown, you know, seeing a jet was a big deal. Because we weren't near anything. We had no international airport or national airport anywhere. We had a little tiny airport. But go watch my other episodes to get the absolute structural proof that these things are real. But here we have a woman who comes in and says, look, I just went to the doctor and this guy is talking about something that no one ever talks about. So the first interesting thing is they attack her as if she is one of them. As if she works for the government. But now, wait a minute. What the hell is she saying? She's saying, don't trust them. There's shit in the sky. Someone needs to stop this. Don't know who's doing it. Wish we did. Wish we knew who we could make a phone call to. It does seem to come out of organizations with NASA hangars, right? There's Air Force bases in Oklahoma and Georgia that have NASA Air Force hangars. There's that woman, I forgot her name, but she worked for 9 years supplying their aluminum and their barium oxide into those hangars, and then these unmarked jets take off. And it wasn't until she had a child in her late 20s that she realized, oh my God, I keep getting raises for doing a good job at what I'm doing, and all I'm doing is checking in these chemicals from nameless companies and making sure it gets to this warehouse, this hangar. And then I get rewards. And she got promoted and moved to Georgia. Now she opens for concerts and talks on a microphone, telling everyone about this kind of stuff. There's been several documentaries out there. What on Earth Are They Spraying Us With is one of them. And then the sequel to that, they're running around the Capitol Hill and the Capitol building asking politicians about chemtrails. And some guys are like, yeah, I totally know about them. Well, you tell us what they're for. No, I got to go. And they jump in elevators. Yeah, so that's all acting, right? But they attack Rachel like she is a shill. Like she's making money. And go see my episode on shills if you have any questions about what the hell that really would be. They attack the doctor. But they attack both of them as if they are, again, doing the opposite of what they're actually doing in the video. You know, chemtrails, let's just say you think they're contrails. They block the sun. That blocks your health. Like I said in all my episodes, they coincide with mass health outbreaks. When I had my video game company with 30 employees, they'd spray all over Los Angeles and Orange County, and I go into my office and I say, guys, start taking your C, because you're going to get sick soon. And they'd laugh. They'd laugh. And then they'd all get sick. And I mean really sick. And then one of my programmers would never stay home when he got sick, because he looked at me like I should have taken my C. So me staying home as a result of not following your advice, it'd be my fault. Now, it's unclear how much of this mob is actually organic and how much of this mob is actually part of them, right? What is the tactic of one of the most corrupt political families on this planet as a part of the American history of presidents? We'll just leave the name out. You guys know who I'm talking about. But their campaign strategy as early as the 90s was to accuse their opponent of everything they're doing. And they just recently did this a couple years ago. Well, I can tell you mathematically on a piece of paper, everything this doctor was accused of and everything that Rachel's been accused of is exactly that. She's doing the exact opposite in the video that she's been accused of doing. So who would do that? Who would make those accusations? Where does that mob come from? It comes from them. Now, you may be an idiot who ran along with it because that's what you do, right? I can guarantee it's none of the listeners on this show. But they go after this doctor's pedigree, which is utterly hilarious. He's a Harvard grad. I think he has 3 or 4 degrees in related sciences. He has his own YouTube channel, and he's sort of a very spiritual, homeopathic guy who's trying to help people out. He's very much like the guy I mentioned on the show all the time, Bruce Lipton. Go to brucelipton.com, read Bruce's books. You're talking about a prodigy medical student who figured out that the medical schools were not teaching the way that the human body worked, therefore releasing thousands of doctors a year into their PhD level practice, you know, their primary care practice, not knowing how the body works. In fact, being completely instructed about how it doesn't work, so that they often will contribute to your death and your illness instead of curing you, right? What have we been talking about the last, you know, dozen episodes? Nikola Tesla, back to Faraday, back to Michael Faraday. They knew how electricity worked. They figured out zero-point energy systems. But who shows up to usurp all that knowledge and keep us in buying units of power? This plagiaristic wife-beater Einstein, right? A guy whose total sum patents affect your life zero, right? But he's the genius and that you learn about all the time in school. And Nikola Tesla, man, you don't learn about that guy until you graduate school and you talk to someone like me. Like, who's that guy? Oh, he's the guy that basically invented everything that you're enjoying right now. Wireless technology, alternating current. Now, there's a lot of other contributors right around that time that are equally brilliant in wireless technology. So there's a couple patents that, you know, two people were having great ideas at the same time and a couple times, but Nikola has scientifically proven that he didn't do what Einstein did, which is work in a patent office, denying everyone's patents, and then taking those and writing a book and basically stealing it like a fucking shill. So then they dig into Rachel's life, and she disappeared. Once this video went out, I didn't get a chance to talk to her for 2 or 3 days. And again, I thought she would maybe continuing to be a little ill, but she looked pretty good in the video. And she finally got back to me. She said, this thing went viral. It blew up. I've been online every single hour of every single day, you know, responding to people and trying to get people to calm down because I can't believe that this thing came back on me. They went after this doctor. And then, because she's a very integral human being, she's like, did I mess up? Is this guy a total weirdo? I mean, and so her and I together went out and looked at this guy's credentials, and I thought, you know, he's very easy to validate his credentials, and you're like, this guy's not only legit, he's mega legit. And again, there's not going to be a point, okay, when there's a government conspiracy like the murdering of JFK, for example, right? What does the government narrative want you to believe? There's two layers to it. There's the scumbags that killed him with a bunch of different shooters. They definitely don't want you to know. They use multiple shooters. They want you to believe Lee Harvey Oswald was a single guy from the book depository window, boom, boom, boom. But then the innocent government layer below that corrupt layer that's above doesn't want you to know that they lost control of the government so that you don't trust your government's ability to protect you. And it's this horrible thing that happens, and this is happening right now. We know that right now in 2018 and 2017, there are fake things going on all around the world, and our government responds as if they're real, because right now the race is on to get rid of the corrupt deep staters that make this kind of stuff happen. But at no point does the deep state want you to find the thread in the sweater that you could pull out to change your thinking to critical thinking. So the only tactic I could imagine with attacking the doctor and attacking Rachel is to simply discredit them, like what they do with a good witness in court, right? The person that knows that this person committed the crime, they have them dead to rights. And so the attorney will just simply go, and this is standard technique in law, you know this, to discredit the person by coming up with completely unrelated things and saying that, well, see that, you see this, and you can't trust this person. There is a shadow of doubt that they're telling the truth. But that's to get the criminal off, right? That strategy is completely reserved to get the criminal off. And that's what's going on here. So the criticism's coming from the guilty party. And the irony is that the word shill is being used by a shill against a person who's anything but a shill. Again, there are few people in this country that have their life more documented than Rachel Reinstra. There's few people that, as a part of the documentation of all their deeds, both personal and professional, that have sacrificed their entire lives for the betterment of others. In this particular case, animals, right? I think that most of us know, and there's, you know, I said I'm working on an episode about losing a pet. I had that request. I think it's a brilliant request. I've had a very profound experience with that. I've got a great photo catalog I'm going to put with the episode. But, you know, most of us in this world go, once a person can take care of an animal, someone outside their own realm of, you know, process, right? An animal is different than a human being. And you have to be on their schedule. You have to be on their methodology. You're sacrificing everything. These people make good parents because children are very much the same way. If the dog, you know, a dog doesn't grow up, but I mean, it does, but, you know, a kid becomes completely self-sufficient. So taking care of animals is one of the most selfless things you could possibly do. That's her background. That's her core. That's who she is as a human being. You would be privileged to have anyone in your life like her. I don't know the doctor personally. His name is spelled a little differently than names, so I'm not quoting his name. I'll probably flash it on the screen. But think about the risk that both of these individuals put forth in order to bring out this notion that there's this thread in the sweater you should probably pull and see where it goes. If you haven't seen my episode on Big Pharma, you should go see it. Because I'm not just a guy on YouTube making a, you know, a pharma bad video. I worked in pharma at the tippy top of pharma because of a weird anomaly that I was developing a piece of software that was tracking the inception of drugs. And so I got to go in very, you know, double card key meetings, as well as meetings that weren't protected that much, with these lead chemists in the room talking about the death counts, what they should be developing drugs for. And I was the guy at the end of the meeting. Instead of getting me out of the room quickly, they put me at the end of the meeting. So, like, well, how are we doing with the software? Did you hear in this room things that might change the design? Yes, I did. Absolutely, absolutely. So I watched them laugh at thousands of people dying. I watched them laugh at about every quarter of the 2 years, a little less than 2 years, I work there in this particular department, them laughing about creating a cure. At the time, I was not awake, right? So when I hear the doctor talk about this kind of stuff, I know he's telling the truth. There's over 350 strands of the flu that man circulates between man globally. The CDC is trying to create a vaccination with 6 to 8 of them in there, which is why they've missed. You know, the doctor was very polite about the CDC's accuracy. He said that it's only accurate about 20% of the time on average. That's actually way higher than reality, because the CDC, what CDC does is they release a report about 2 years ago, right? So they release it today, and it's 2018. They'll talk about their 2016 accuracy. And it was an 18-year run where they never picked the one that went around. The one that was devastating everyone was not in the vaccination. Well, there's your pharmaceutical heroes, right? As soon as you get sick, what do? You go buy a bunch of drugs, right? Even if it's over-the-counter stuff, your Sudafeds, your Thermaflus, all this kind of stuff, your cough drops. It's a multi-billion dollar business to keep everyone ill. That's not what chemtrails are probably all about, to be honest. You got to look up Dr. Russell Blaylock, another doctor, retired neurologist. He completely covers the way that this aluminum that comes out of this plane, of which he has an actual sample of, is pulverized nano-sized aluminum. It has been created by man in a machine. It has been put in a fucking plane, and it drops on you. You breathe it up through your nose, right at the apex of your nasal canal. It travels up through the blood-brain barrier and into your brain. What is one of the big attributes of someone with Alzheimer's? They crack open the brain, they look inside, and there's a major accumulation of aluminum. It's short-circuiting your brain. Again, when they said don't eat egg yolks, well, that's what your brain gray matter is made out of. 76% of your brain is made out of the cholesterol found in an egg yolk. When they demonized egg yolks, we just got Alzheimer's in 5 or 6 years because it's something called neural tangling. Turmeric, however you say it, the vitamin, it's orange. You can take that. It binds with aluminum and other precious metals like mercury and takes it out of your bloodstream. That's one of the little things you can do to try and reduce your amount of precious metals in your brain. Because once something goes into the blood, past the blood-brain barrier, there's really no way for it to escape naturally. But just to show you how brilliant these people are, who are coming after her, who are supposedly, again, trying to find the truth. That's the charter of their channels. And I want you to reevaluate these individuals as to whether or not they really are trying to bring you the truth. You know, what's interesting about trying to find people that accuse other people of what they're actually doing is you wouldn't know who they were unless they accused you of something, right? But once you're standing in the crowd and you hear someone shout, just like in the movie The Warriors, right? It happened in the movie The Warriors. Some of you have seen that movie. This game called The Rogues shot Cyrus with a pistol, 357 Magnum, shot him right in the heart, falls down and dies. Everyone's like, what the hell? What happened? No one's supposed to be having any guns at this meeting. And the chief of the Rogues pointed at the leader of the Warriors and said, that's him. He did it. The Warriors did it. They shot Cyrus. And he grabs one of his own guys and he pulls him up while everyone's looking and he goes, isn't that him? And he goes, yeah, that's him. And then all of a sudden the movie's on. Everyone's chasing the Warriors while the Rogues that actually shot Cyrus are just having fun on the side, man. Right? So I think we've identified more of the actual legitimate shills with hundreds, if not thousands, of videos trying to tell you where the truth is. I'm telling you, either anyone who's attacking Rachel is either stupid or a shill, or both. There's a 50-minute video out there that just released, I think yesterday or today. So funny. This is how innocent Rachel is. I'm going to lay this out for you. She was accused of working for Lockheed Martin. Now, what's funny is she's done over 200, I think, 250 voiceover gigs in her first 10 years of trying to make it here in Hollywood because she has a beautiful voice. She just understands how to communicate with people, right? She has the cutest dog videos you've ever seen in your life. But she had done a 30-second piece for Lockheed Martin 20 years ago, like 1996, so 22 years ago. And when you do voiceover, and my experience with voiceover is the following. When I had probably about, I'd say, 4 super active comedians, one of the things that they do to make ends meet is to do voiceover work. One of my guys narrated all of the LA buses. So you get on the bus and it's got this automated, you know, message coming in. He was the voice of the buses for, God, probably 5 or 6 years. One of my guys has done so many voiceovers, I've lost track. And here he is, you know, most of these guys will go around the world. They're touring, not maybe the world, but they're going all over the United States because the money is never in Los Angeles when you're a comedian. You get $40 to show up. You know, I got George Lopez. I used to film him at the Ice House in Pasadena. The guy was making $40 to show up for the night. And I knew all these people because I would film the guy I came to film, one of my dudes, my clients, and all the other comedians said, "You're filming?" I said, "Yeah." They go, "Here's my card. Could you please send me a copy of that?" I said, "Sure." So I got I did the guy who does Daffy Duck's voice and just all kinds of super legends walking through that place. But I guarantee you, if I brought one of my clients on this show right now and sat him down and said, "You know, tell me all the voiceover you've done over the last 10 years. He would mumble and stumble, and because he's done so many. He'll go in and do like 20 readings at a particular sit-down. And the way it works is there's these voiceover coaches who actually have the gigs, right? And so they have tons of clients, hundreds and hundreds of people in Los Angeles that rotate through her office. She'll give you these scripts, and there's like, you know, 10 of them on a particular day. You come in and you read. You may not be the one that they actually pick, but you still read. And you make a teeny amount of money from her because what she's doing, the one that actually hits, she'll make maybe 10 grand for that voiceover. So she's paying you $100. If your voice gets picked up, you get the extra money, but at least you get the reading money. And so you never know which one of you is actually going to get the gig. You know, they may like the Italian voice. They may like the Asian female voice. It doesn't matter, right? Well, this 50-minute video goes on and it's hilarious, man. And I'm going to flash up what he found here. I got to be kind of careful because I'm just going to put it up there. The person who I'm going to show is an innocent person from this entire situation. But this genius goes up and finds out that Rachel had done a voiceover gig, which I think we thought that's what he was looking at. Because this accusation that she worked for Lockheed Martin, you know, I mean, they're a military organization, they have a skunk works laboratory, all of them do, right? And so she hears this rumor that she worked for Lockheed Martin, and she's like, "Oh my God, you know, 22 years ago I did this little piece for a video," and she this is how innocent she is. She doesn't really know all of the inner workings of Lockheed Martin. It was just a company name. She knew it was kind of Air Force-y and military, but she didn't really know what a lot of us guys know who play war games and that kind of stuff, right? This is what's funny. But the guy didn't find the voiceover background, as far as I know. He found someone else with her name is actually spelled differently in the legal sense. With, instead of 2 E's, it's an E-I. But there's a different Rachel Reinstra who does work at Lockheed Martin as an engineer. There's a LinkedIn page. So he found a completely different person. Completely different person who I believe is still working for Lockheed Martin today, who's a lot younger than Rachel Reinstra we're talking about, and he fingers her for the job. And he clickbaits the shit out of you guys to get a bunch of, you know, ad revenue, or to at least get his subscriptions up, because he's the guy with the big drop. Again, he's attacking a hero, but accusing her of being anything but a hero. Just blows my mind, man. One of the other touch points is that you have a woman who has been a Christian, I think, for a long part of her life, but she's also been a stand-up comedian. And at one point, she had a really funny joke about combining Facebook and the way that Facebook invites come in back in the day, and the fact that some people actually use the name Jesus to this day, right? You're Latin Americans. They love that name. White people didn't use that name because they feared the wrath of God, naming your child after, in their religion, a living God. And so she had this joke about a guy named Jesus friending her and then suggesting a friendship with Judas. It's a clean little joke. And she had a show on TV that needed a carpenter, and she was suggesting that he work with her on the show as a carpenter. And she's not talking about God. She's talking about some guy who's using that name, and that's the joke. That's the irony of the whole thing, right? And so they take that little tiny thread and they go into offended mode, right? The pathetic, non-existent emotion that is, you know, offending. You go see my episode on offending, being offended. It's an emotion that you use to do one shitty thing to another human being, and that's extorting behavior out of them, right? I want you to give me something for free. And so as long as I can prove to you that you offended me, oh man, I got a steak dinner, I got a back rub, you know, I get something from you, right? I'm glad that this happened on one level, that it exposed, I think, a lot of shills that are attacking good people. I'm very thankful that I knew Rachel before this happened. She's one of the most honest people you could possibly ever talk to. And what's, I'll give you an example of how honest this girl is. You know, she believes in letting it all hang out, you know? She has a who she is. She's not pretending. Like, you don't get off, you don't watch her on a video and then talk to her on the phone and have two different people, right? You know, I don't walk around smoking cigars in my sunglasses all day long, right? For those of you who've met me in real life, you'll know that's not the case. I definitely have my crazier side that's more personable, and I wouldn't say maybe more personable, but you know, if you sat down and talked to me at my smoke lounge, I'm not wearing my sunglasses, I got my hair up, I'm sitting on my computer geeking out, doing something, I'm a different person, but not with her. And the first time we talked, she goes, do you mind if I record our conversation? It was like a Skype call or something like that, and she wanted to put it on the web. And I told her, I said, I don't do that. You know, I don't want my, you know, unchartered, unthemed things out there. I'm doing something very specific in deep thoughts, and that every episode is a very chartered subject matter, whether it be a shitty episode or a good episode. It's a volume in my encyclopedia that is deep thoughts, and I just don't want renegade stuff out there. Those of you who saw me interview Bart Sabrell, you can tell there's a different side of me. Right? So if anyone could be accused of having, you know, a persona, not with her. She's 100% the same person all the time, right? I would never come out and tell you how much money I make, but Rachel did that. So after this whole thing came down, they accused her of having staged this in some, you know, some backlot studio. If any of you know how expensive that is, to even just rent the space, let alone construct some sort of doctor's office and hire some actor, and you have to rehearse and you have to read through the script and you have to do several takes, especially if they're going to do it all in one shot, which is the way this worked, which is why I want to show you the unedited version of the shot. You're talking about money, right? Direction. It'd be a false, you know, back wall. Wouldn't be a guy standing in a room, right? She revealed, so what she did was she went back to the urgent care and did a live streaming thing on Facebook and attempted to go into the doctor's office with the live stream, but the building was killing the signal. So she created two different videos because she wanted to prove to everyone this was a real facility. She went to this real location. She talks to the head office manager nurse and said, you know, was I here? Yes, I was here. Who did I talk to? What's the doctor's name? And she mentions the guy's name. And she says, well, is he going to be back here? Because I'd like to see him again. And she's like, well, he rotates in and out of this particular clinic twice a month. So you just happen to catch him on the one of the two visits that he had here. I mean, think of the luck of the draw. If you want to believe in divine moments, then, and you believe in truth and you want to go after it, then I think you should put two and two together and go, the perfect person met the perfect person to bring this out and to get this to us. And so to have a bunch of douchebags attacking that fortunate moment in time, right? For those of you who believe Christ is real and he really died on that cross, okay. So this would be tantamount to him dying on the cross for all of your sins, getting rid of all of this, you know, previous Old Testament methodology of slaughtering the lamb for all of our sins, right? Letting the blood run out right out into the streets so everybody can scream and yell how forgiven they are. He got rid of that whole thing, but this same group of people, with one jerk from the Warriors standing in the audience and go, he's the devil. And they go, what? Oh yeah, he's the devil. And they would turn Christ and they turn him completely upside down into the Antichrist. That's the kind of quality of human being that is actually real that gets into these mob mentalities, right? These people should be utterly embarrassed to look in the mirror. And they probably are already, right? But we have this theme going on all around the world, don't we? You know, Julian Assange, this is the guy that's been releasing all the WikiLeaks emails so we can know that we have pedophiles all over the world, right? They run political campaigns, right? They do shilly crap with our enemies. They don't report what they're doing. They embezzle money. They're senators sometimes. They're House representatives sometimes. They're presidents sometimes, right? And Julian Assange is not able to go outside on his balcony anymore because he fears getting sniped by a deep state sniper. Because, hey, if he gets sniped, everyone just is going to forget about that he ever existed a couple of days later when he's probably one of the biggest heroes we've had. We weren't sure about the guy at first, but he has maintained a consistent message since the very beginning. But this is the theme of the deep state. To create these disinformation campaigns to take the good people and make them bad people and take the bad people and make them good people. You know, a lot of times when you've built up a franchise, like, you know, I've got this little teeny show, 2,100 subscribers as of this morning, and you think about endorsing anything. Well, I can endorse this Babalu cigar. I can say this is a great cigar. It's made in Austin, Texas, made by hand by Americans. Using New World tobacco from South America. They're fantastic. They smoke great, blah, blah, blah. I don't worry about this cigar coming back to haunt me, right? Oh, what if the cigar robs a liquor store tomorrow night? No, don't have that problem. But you'll see it with athletes, with actors, with people who have franchises they want to protect. They're famous for doing something that they love. They're legit. And someone says, hey, Will you do a commercial for my vacuum cleaner? Will you endorse my car insurance company, right? There's a due diligence process to figure out, well, geez, you know, that, you know, you guys could create a car that sucks. You guys could create insurance that's bad and scammy. You know, this vacuum cleaner could have all kinds of toxic stuff in it. I mean, you know, it could be filling up landfills because the bags aren't recyclable. All kinds of stuff you have to check out before you endorse something. I will endorse Rachel Reinstra as far as I can do it. And I hope that, you know, well, my listeners will definitely take that seriously. She has no claim to fame in science, you know. She doesn't know anything about, you know, what nano-sized aluminum is. She can hear it and she could say, oh my God, that sounds really bad. And then she watches Dr. Russell Blaylock. She can go, oh my God, this guy has been an activist with a PhD. And he runs around the world trying to keep water from being fluoridated. He's trying to get rid of chemtrails. Never has an agenda. He just tries to describe how it hurts the body, and then he tries to stop it. He doesn't have gigantic conspiracies attached to it. He's just saying, look, this is bad. I don't care if this is a natural byproduct or some fuel additive or whatever the case might be. This didn't used to happen in the past. And this is obviously man-made stuff. And so we have to keep it out of our body. There's a law of particulates that I'll explain in the other two episodes you can see about chemtrails. If you breathe something that isn't oxygen, then you're breathing a particulate. When I breathe the foot smoke off a cigar, I'm breathing a particulate. It's not good for me, right? If you stay next to a bonfire, you stand next to a steam train, you feel smell diesel fuel, anywhere you are, jet fuel, you're breathing a particulate. Overall, your body, because I don't smoke these all day long, all week long, the idea is my body can repair itself faster than this stuff could hurt me, right? There's a tremendous amount of brilliant, super qualified minds that are carrying this torch, that the skies didn't work like this in the past, right? The fact that California's weather is almost exactly the same. The reason why Disneyland is 8 miles from my house, okay, is because Walt Disney did a survey of the best place in the world to build an amusement park whereby it could stay open the most numbers of days, because time is money, baby, right? So here we are sitting here in 73 degree weather, the majority of this year. It's our average mean temperature of this area, and there's no rain, unfortunately. I mean, it happens very sparsely. You might have like 4 rainstorms a year, okay? So the conditions for the plains up there, it's almost identical every single day, right? If it's any different, it's usually super hot in the summer, super cold in the winter. But we'll have a day like today. There's nothing up there. Yesterday was exactly the same. Wasn't as clean. Chemtrails are real. I've talked to pilots. Go see my episodes. Pilots that admitted to other pilots that this stuff is real. I've talked to 2 commercial pilots and a military pilot and said both, all 3 of them, 2 groups, 3 different interviews, said, in fact, my partner from MKUltra Radio, he interviewed the military guy. I interviewed the 2 commercial guys. All 3 of them said the same phrase. It's not us. And they all said the same thing, I'm thinking, because they've all agreed that that's what you say. Because they're like, look, we want to tell you that it's not us. We don't know what they are. We're told to shut up. It's just as bad as seeing a UFO. You don't talk about it when you land. You don't talk about it on the radio. It ain't because it's normal. None of the co-pilots, one of my buddies is a co-pilot. He flies chartered jets out of Los Angeles and Orange County for the super billionaires of the world and their G5s and their G6s or whatever. And he said that when he was a commercial co-pilot flying commercial flights like, you know, American Airlines and that stuff before he became a private pilot, he pointed off in one of his first couple months and he says, what is that plane doing over there? What is that stuff that's spraying out of the back? And this other guy who had been working for 25 years said, we don't talk about those planes. Don't ever say anything about them on the radio. And a little precursor, a little preview to the episodes you're probably going to watch if you haven't seen them already, is that he was flying up from South America, just coming over the California border, and he had this plane with no lights on in front of him. And he called down and said, you know, I got a unidentified plane, commercial-sized plane, like a 737 or bigger. He couldn't tell because it was at night. And he goes, it's not reporting on my radar. It's in my way. Where the hell is, you know, like, get this thing out of here. This is crazy. He said that the plane went way ahead of him. And at that point, it actually pulled in front of him from the side to in front of him. And all of a sudden, he's in this trail. And the lights turned on. And I think it was actually they were on for a second, then they turned off, and they moved in front, and then turned back on. And all he got from the ground control was, he's out of your way now. No mention of what the plane was, who was flying it, just, it's out of your way now. Go about your business. The fact of the matter is, unless you're in on this whole thing, and there's some pill you can take, like iodine or something, that blocks the absorption of all this stuff, which I would be surprised if that pill exists on nano-sized aluminum. There's nothing you can do to stop ingesting this stuff besides never go outside. It's one of the most frustrating conspiracies because as much as the government's changed so far in America for the better, it's going to be a while before these things are probably annihilated out of the sky. But what if someone has some weird excuse, some faux story as to why this is good, you know? For those of you who haven't studied Agenda 21, you know, again, I'll refer you to Gorbachev. 1991, I think he showed up on ABC television. He's a little toasted. He's a little high, you can tell. He's had some drinks that night. He has the glassy eye thing that you get when you drink too much. He's had a good time. He's the first time he's ever been in America, I believe. He's in New York City, I believe. And, you know, they said, how you like New York City? And he's like, oh, man, this is beautiful. I love it. It's really great. People are really fun, nice. And they said, well, what is this? You were over here for this meeting about Agenda 21. What's that all about? And on live television, he says, well, it's a global population control plan. It's a population control plan, except it's global. And he's all happy about it. 1991. When do we actually start noticing things? You know, Prince said he noticed it in Minneapolis as a kid in the 70s. Go see his interview on BET television. He was a disciple of Dick Gregory. And Dick Gregory, you know, he went a little bonkers in his late 80s. But, you know, come on. Way before that, he had his crap together. But I have a father, let's put it that way, that was a photographer my whole life. The amount of, you know, people ask me, well, do you like going to weddings? You know, they'll ask me that question. I said, well, before I was even 16 years old, I've been to dozens and dozens and dozens of weddings because my father was a wedding photographer. There's two types of photographs that we take. Photographs outside of the bride and groom in some beautiful location in the summertime. Usually, and then all the ones we do in the church. Well, one of the things that was, because I had to help the whole ecosystem, my dad would take the wedding and the negatives come in. He uses Hasselblad cameras, a big fat ass 110 or whatever it is, 120 square negatives, and we had to mark them up for edits. So we also did, you know, lots of profile shots, you know, like kids' senior year pictures and stuff. So when they had pimples and stuff, we could mark them up before Photoshop existed, and the lab would take them out. They could even take braces off people's teeth after a while, right? But at no point did we have wedding photographs with chemtrails in the sky. If you try to take those photographs on any summer day in the Midwest right now in 2018, you probably have a 50-50 chance of having the sky full of lines that are painting a grid over a little country town that has no national airport. Anywhere near it, right? There's more evidence that chemtrails are real than we fake the moon missions. And we have irrefutable proof that we never went to the moon. Irrefutable. Given to us by NASA to Bart Sabrell, put in the movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. We have planes violating airspace. You know, there's a rule, there's a number of seconds that a plane can use the same airspace when it's not part of the landing corridors. These trails will stop and start on a dime. They paint structures in the sky. Right? I can see a plane way over the coast. It's got a contrail. It's beautiful. It's lasting about a second and a half behind that plane. Right now. I don't see any chemtrails anywhere. Tomorrow may be completely different. I know you feel me. We have to defend and protect good people from mobs. From mobs that are too stupid to know where good and evil really exists, because either they've been indoctrinated into a religious paradigm or some sort of self-loathing paradigm where they're just in constant scapegoating mode, right? Gotta hate someone else today. You know these people. They show up at your work. They show up at the restaurants. They show up at your hangouts. And they're just always grumpy. They only talk in cynical, complaining sentences about everything and everyone. And if you think they don't talk about you like that when you walk away, you're crazy. You're their target the second you're not aware of what they're saying, right? As I always say on this show, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, that's true. I think everybody knows that. Eat cake every day and look in the mirror a year later and you'll be a different looking human being. But the same goes for your mind, right? So my advice would be, anyone that you find out there that is accusing Rachel, of all people, of being a shill, being some sort of inside person or whatever, turn that channel off. lest you be infected by their belief systems, which will probably lead you astray. It's sort of like that whole thing when people finally turn off their television, right? YouTube has beat television 10 to 1, right? The amount of people I meet today that haven't turned on a television in years, right? I got friends that haven't owned television for years and they don't miss it. And then they'll call me up every once in a while and say, oh my God, you know what? I got stuck in an airport. I got stuck in a restaurant where I had to watch the television. I was in the waiting room at some stupid urgent care and I was watching the television. And they'll call me up to say, it's so bad. The television is so bad. How does anyone watch this shit? How do these people get any ratings at all to pay for their production? And we know all the ratings are going down, right? Everything. Every news channel is losing all their followers, especially the mainstream media, right? That same phenomenon exists on YouTube. As soon as you turn off the negativity, right? Alex Jones loses followers every single day due to the negative doomsday crap that's going on. And I want to put a little footnote in here. This is unrelated to this particular episode, but this is another way that you need to police your mind, okay? YouTube's AdSense, when you make money from advertising, is so bad, you make so little money from it, right, that you have to have every video get to 1 million views or several hundred thousand views every single day, every other day, just to pay off your bills, right? To make 10 grand, I don't even know how many you'd have to have. Probably 1 million impressions with full pre-roll ads before all of your stuff, with people actually clicking on those pre-roll ads, right? So it's not enough money. So these people that are out there, especially the shills, are trying to create as much income as possible, right? They will take on advertisers that will actually sponsor a YouTube channel. And one of the most dangerous species of advertisers that's going on, it's been going on for 10 years, okay, are people involved with the financial pump and dump companies, like people that say, there's a lot of people that used to sell, and Alex Jones used to have this too, people that sell gold and silver, precious metals. They force the narrative into the episode, either be it the commercial itself, or the host will actually embed it into their material on a daily basis. There's a guy out there with a channel, and his channel, he's like a radio show, and he just has a plate that shows, you know, in the YouTube channel, and he has a stock market symbol going down the tubes. That's what you stare at every time you have to listen to something. You're looking at this pessimistic view of our financial future. But these guys have been saying for 10 years that the economy is going to crash, that the sky is falling, and they're trying to pump and dump some stock, some Bitcoin, or some precious metal thing, right? And I'm the last person to tell you that buying precious metals is a bad idea. But instead of just coming on and saying, hey guys, this is a great idea to diversify your financial portfolio, get some metal, get some Bitcoin. You know, at this point, Bitcoin, I think, has been proven to be theoretically sound, but all the Bitcoins that exist today are already bust because, you know, if a Bitcoin costs $10,000 for one Bitcoin and, you know, only a fraction of the whole population of the world owns a Bitcoin, well, obviously that's not diluted enough, right? You have to be able to take your paycheck and buy some type of currency that's going to be an investment, right? Gold is at like, what, $1,300 an ounce on average. Well, okay, so you want to buy an ounce of gold, it's going to be in the Midwest, it'd be a total house payment. In California, it might be a third of your house payment. Or if you have a really nice car, it's a whole car payment plus a few extra $100 just to buy 1 ounce of gold. So be careful with programming your mind with channels that do pump and dump. The second you get into a channel that is starting to exacerbate this thought that the economy is going to crash, one of the biggest contributors to economic confidence or lack of confidence is rumors, is an overall feeling of how the economy is going to go. And these guys, in order to sell their advertising for their shilly channels, are always in a negative pump and dump formula constantly. And so that gets into your brain, and you think that there's a bunch of real concrete methodology that they have that is going to crash the economy. And so you start repeating that crap to your friends with no knowledge that they're full of shit, that they're actually selling something, right? Just tell them you ain't buying what they're selling, okay? Stick to channels, to stick to the facts. Stay on target. If they want to make a financial collapse video, then that's something you could choose to watch. You'd say, I'd like to know anyone's theory about why the economy would crash. Let's do a whole hour on it. Great. At least you're going in knowing that that's what they're talking about. But they'll bait you in with, you know, some benign topic that's unrelated, and they bump it at the beginning and they bump it at the end with these disaster scenarios. We need to put an end to that programming of our mind. Talk about predictive programming, right? It's right in your face. So anyway, had to get this episode out. I'm going to edit this today and get this out today. I got a bunch in the queue, but this is going to go up there and hopefully clear up a few misconceptions. We have to neutralize the mob mentality. Don't let the shilly deep staters determine who your heroes are. Do your own research. Do your own math. But from me to you guys that are longtime listeners, this is a legit story by legit people. The only person I don't have contact with is the doctor. But he just said everything we already know anyway. He just gave it a really clever name. Chemtrail lung. How cool. Anyway, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. There's audio, video. There's a locked Facebook group, a Patreon page. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you on the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.